Welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. I'm Phil Harvey. I'm an editor here at Light Reading, joined as ever by my colleague and fellow editor, Kelsey Zeiser. Hello, Kelsey.
Happy New Year, Phil.
This is our first podcast of the new year that we're recording, which is fantastic. We have a good guest as well, somebody who is in a line of business that everyone likes right now. Home Wi-Fi. Yeah, so we'll be joined by Nick Weaver, the CEO of Eero, actually. I've been pronouncing it all kinds of ways, but it's E-E-R-O, and this is the company that they make these little, home router gateway devices that provide connectivity throughout the house. And, you know, they were, they look like they were made by Apple. That's kind of how the, how slick and everything the routers look, but they were, this company was bought by Amazon. I think they announced it back in February of 2019. And it was a pretty big acquisition. And
yeah, it looks like also 97 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It was also sort of like at a point in that company's life when it was, kind of having trouble scaling, having trouble, getting beyond the plateau that it had kind of hit. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's really interesting to kind of, get Nick's perspective on how things are different now, mm-hmm. Where things are going in terms of scaling the company and how big it is. And then also just the idea of, what's on the horizon, whether 5G is a threat. What are some other kind of topics we could hit on?
Yeah, we also talked a little bit about what their relationship is like with service providers and if they, if that's a good relationship or if they pose any issues to just how easily, consumers can use Eero's products. And also talked a little bit about Wi-Fi 6 and, mm-hmm. If you had any thoughts on how things have changed since the pandemic, and also stick around to hear his suggestions for what kind of music to listen to and drinks to have to get you through lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had some lockdown suggestions from Mr. Weaver. I think one of the things is that I was going for was like asking a question to kind of find out, just a little bit about someone's personality. And you give him a this or that question, and then he answered with all three. He just
yeah. did.
And so that's always appreciated when somebody takes the time to do that. But,
yeah.
It's really interesting with the consumer home, which is now also the consumer business and the consumer school. But how home, in-home connectivity is a much bigger deal, but also smart connectivity, being able to, make sure that each device gets exactly the bandwidth that it needs.
Right.
Traditionally, telecom service providers have not been great at that. They've stepped up their game in a big way in the last couple of years. I mean, honestly, their timing on the service provider side couldn't have been more perfect. But companies like Eero were already pushing the boundaries of where that was going to go, offering these kind of packages of services that came with, Wi-Fi connectivity. And yeah, and you were right about the service provider question. It was like, in the early days, that was a bit of tension. Now it doesn't seem as much so, mm-hmm. but it's critically important that for consumers, because it's like, this is this extra bundle and bucket of services that you could sell to consumers if you, provide connectivity really well and manage it correctly, and B, are a trusted brand, mm-hmm. That you do all the things that a trusted brand will do. And it doesn't seem that hard anymore for a company like that now that they're an Amazon company, because, so many consumers use Amazon for
right. All
kinds of things. I don't even know all the things they do anymore. but definitely the cloud, and definitely like physical delivery items. That's
right.
Those are two big ones.
Yeah. Especially right now, since everyone's stuck at home.
I know. Yeah. That's a, you know, we're still in the throes of lockdown. We're recording this in January. So it's still a, still a big deal. And, hopefully we have some, you know, better news on the horizon, but, yeah. But please do enjoy our interview and our chat with, Aero founder, and CEO Nick Weaver. Okay, we want to welcome Nick Weaver, CEO of Aero, the router company. I guess, do you call it, Nick, do you call it a router company? How do you describe Aero?
Yeah, we normally focus on whole home Wi-Fi versus okay. just a router. Given, you know, each of our units could be a home router, a wireless access point, or a full, you know, wireless mesh node.
That's true. Yeah, it's a multi-purpose device, but the whole point is to provide great Wi-Fi and connectivity within the home.
Exactly.
So being that you're plugged in, and I know Aero is definitely a you know, a data-driven company in terms of you know, just how it rolls out features, how it rolls out updates, and everything. So while we've been in this pandemic, what kind of changes in like network traffic patterns or even customer traffic patterns have you been able to observe?
You know, I think we've been able to see a lot in terms of customer behavior, in terms of purchase and activation of new networks. But at least, you know, for us, we take, you know, customer privacy really seriously. So we don't do anything to track, you know, network traffic patterns or anything like that. So I can't give you any insight there. What I can say is, you know, the number of homes that are now running on Aero has grown, you know, tremendously over the last 12 months. And, you know, it's because our homes are now our offices, our schools, and, you know, shelters from the world. So just, you know, the amount of customers turning on Aero units and, you know, taking advantage of great whole home connectivity. I mean, we've grown a ton over the last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. So has the growth been more in terms of capacity, in terms of houses connected, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I mean, the primary driver has been, you know, just new households coming online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at the typical home in the U.S., at least, you know, you're looking at call it a 2,000, a 2,500 square foot home. And the vast majority of our systems that we sell at retail are three unit systems. So, mm-hmm. you know, from that perspective, you're very well provisioned, and have plenty of capacity for, you know, devices and coverage, throughout the home. So it's, yeah, it's been great to see. And then I think the other big thing is, we announced and started shipping our brand new generation of Aeros at the end of 2020, our new Aero 6 and Aero Pro 6 that all take advantage of Wi-Fi 6, the latest Wi-Fi standard. And, you know, just a ton of customers have been upgrading to the latest standard and, you know, A, getting faster speeds with our Pro 6 system, but, you know, also making sure their networks are future-proofed and able to take advantage of you know, all the new capabilities of Wi-Fi 6.
Are your customers able to prioritize their network traffic at all? Say, you know, especially with the pandemic, I imagine a parent would want to prioritize their Zoom call over their kids playing Fortnite, or is that not really an issue with how the whole mesh system works?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we don't provide kind of like a classical or a classic, you know, select one, two, three devices and prioritize them. And the reason we don't do that is frequently that's a, you know, moment in time. And so, you know, somebody might prioritize one device and then 4 or 5 days later are confused why, you know, another device they're on isn't getting enough bandwidth. So what we did was we put in a feature, it's called Optimize for Video Conferencing and Gaming. And it's actually takes advantage of a technology called SQM, simple queue management. And what that does is it makes sure any given device isn't able to, you know, monopolize all the bandwidth in the home, and it fairly allocates bandwidth to all your different devices. And so we found that by enabling that feature, you get the result of making sure that, you know, one device doesn't consume all the bandwidth in the home and everyone has a great experience. And then you don't have the, you know, the issues with, hey, somebody set one device to have priority, forgot about it, and then 2 weeks later is trying to figure out, you know, why another device in the home isn't working.
Yeah. So it sounds like you kind of double as a family counselor for.
Let's not put that much on him. I don't think you.
We do have some parental controls that let, you know, parents A, filter out content, but also set time mm-hmm. limits and pause their kids' devices. So, you know, the number of emails or tweets, even written letters I've gotten from parents. Of, you know, I now have control over the house and everybody shows up for dinner because they can, you know, pause the internet. It's pretty remarkable just to see how parents have used all the capabilities of Eero to better manage their households.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good thing, especially now, you know, when, you know, we're all I guess, sharing a scarce resource that is bandwidth in the home. Back to the Wi-Fi 6 thing, just for a second. Do you have you been able to say anything publicly about like how much Wi-Fi 6 is out there, or you know, how much consumers are using that particular type of connectivity over anything else? Because we've been both excited to see lots of Wi-Fi 6, you know, getting out there, but we're also noticing that there aren't too terribly many devices that that take advantage of it yet.
Yeah, like with any wireless rollout, you kind of have the chicken and the egg problem. You need both, you know, the network to support Wi-Fi 6, and then you need client devices to support Wi-Fi 6. I think, you know, the good news is all the latest clients. So if you're buying a new phone or tablet or laptop, most of them are Wi-Fi 6 enabled. And then, yeah, networks are starting to roll out. I think, you know, at least from our perspective, from the data I've seen is, you know, that really started in earnest in the second half of 2020. And, you know, as we look into 2021, we're going to see a continued shift to Wi-Fi 6 capable networks, which should help. And, you know, frankly, it's the high bandwidth devices that can really benefit the most from Wi-Fi 6. And so, again, that's with, you know, phones, tablets, laptops. Those are the ones that are consuming the most bandwidth. And if you're buying a new phone, chances are, again, it'll have Wi-Fi 6 enabled.
Yeah. It's another thing about like the, you know, the people sharing devices in the pandemic. It's like, it's such a perfect technology for now, because it not only has that higher bandwidth, but it's also just better on the battery life generally for devices. And it's just like, you get that, you know, 2-in-1 kind of improvement.
There's two key, you know, features. One's OFDMA, taking, you know, technology from LTE and applying it to Wi-Fi, which allows, you know, the spectrum to get sliced up, you know, by device, which makes things just much more efficient. And then, yeah, the target wait time technology for battery powered devices, it'll be great to see that start rolling out more in mass for, you know, obviously phones and tablets and laptops, but also ultimately for, you know, other battery powered devices for, you know, the smart home and other applications.
Yeah. And how is switching gears a little bit, how has things changed at Eero since the Amazon acquisition, and has that, you know, made life any easier for you as the CEO?
I get asked this question a lot. I don't think anything's been made easier. Things are definitely different though. You know, we're still running a very fast growing business, and, you know, there's lots of scaling challenges that the team's been tackling over the last, you know, call it year and a half, 2 years. I think the things that being at Amazon has really helped is just taking that global perspective. We've been able to really, you know, quickly increase our global footprint and just taking advantage lots of, you know, other teams and expertise within Amazon to bring our products to more customers. So, you know, a little over a year ago, holiday season 2019, we rolled out in Europe. And then last year rolled out in Australia and Mexico, and we're continuing to, you know, bring Eero to more and more households around the globe this year. So I think that's been the biggest thing. And then I think for me personally, there's just, it's been a great learning opportunity just to see, you know, what does it take to not just build a business, but build a business that's, you know, meaningful to Amazon. It's just a different level of scale. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to learn from a lot of really great leaders over the last, you know, 1.5, 2 years.
So how many countries are you guys sending product to now?
I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. I think it's 7 or 8.
Okay, so much, much bigger than just the U.S. alone. Okay.
Yeah, and when we were acquired, we were shipping in U.S. and Canada. Okay. So you know, those two regions, and yeah, things have grown significantly since then.
Kind of a management-y type of question. Do you think of yourself as a better CEO or a better founder? Meaning, like, are you more entrepreneurially bent, or do you, you know, are you more comfortable in the kind of running things mode? And I'm also willing to allow that in Amazon that might be all one thing because it grows so fast.
Well, I think you know, Amazon has a long history of inventing new things and really taking, you know, risks on great customer experiences. So but you know, you also have all the infrastructure that comes with being at Amazon to go do those things. So I don't, you know, in terms of founding things, you know, we've had infrastructure even at Eero for quite some time. You know, just kind of looking back in 2014 when we were, you know, 3 people in my living room, when we started the company, there's just those early days, they're really hard. And, there's a lot of ambiguity, and you're at a race against the clock, right? Like, you have to find product market fit very, very, very quickly so that you can, A, you know, really solve problems for customers, but B, also have access to capital so you can start, you know, scaling the company, the business, the product line, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think I'm today... I think things are less focused on that, those early, you know, founding days. It's much more on, you know, how do you scale the business, scale the team, scale operating principles. And I'd put that, you know, much more on, you know, kind of the CEO end of the spectrum. You know, that being said, I think if there's a new opportunity that we're excited about, you know, beyond the scope of just Eero, I think there's a lot of appetite to go invent new things for customers.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting, it's just kind of an interesting perspective you have in terms of being you know, as where you are in the life of a company, but also, you know, in a CEO, and from somebody like myself who can't even keep 2 cats under control in my office. I'm always marveling at how people manage large and growing enterprises.
I mean, it's absolutely been a learning experience.
Yeah.
And very humbling at times.
For sure. So we couldn't go a podcast without mentioning 5G. So do you think...
ding, ding, ding. Everybody drink.
Yeah, everybody.
Sorry. Yeah. What about AI and ML too?
Oh yeah, of course.
Digital transformation. So do you think 5G has ever really been a threat to home Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I really don't think so. I mean, Wi-Fi is the most popular connectivity technology on the planet. You know, when you look at devices in the home, it's like 99% of them connect over Wi-Fi. And and part of that is because there's no spectrum costs. It's an open spectrum, and it's a standard. So it's just, you know, the cost of connecting via Wi-Fi is, you know, call it a buck, $2. When you factor in the silicon required, the antennas to do that. And then when you look at 5G, it's extraordinarily expensive. You know, you're talking 10, 100 times more expensive than Wi-Fi, because A, you have much more expensive silicon, but then, you know, you also have spectrum and a lot of IP that you're paying for those chipsets. So, you know, when you look at a home, I think 5G is going to play a increasingly larger role in providing connectivity. But again, it's going to be an access technology, a WAN technology. How do you get connectivity to the home? And then once you get connectivity to the home, then, you know, I think Wi-Fi, Ethernet is going to take over as it has in the past. And it's just because it's ubiquitous and it's super, super, super cheap. And it's a known, you know, known quantity. So for devices that are going to stay in the home and not kind of leave your four walls, it just doesn't make sense to pay for something like 5G.
Right. Especially you know, families like mine are squabbling over how many streaming services we have, and someone accidentally increased our Netflix to premium.
Yeah, now it's what, $20 a month?
I know. Yeah. I'm like, another $4.
You're like, hey, that's a number you have to start paying attention to. But what you were saying about Wi-Fi, I guess the reason we brought that up anyway was because, you know, heading into CES, one of the just, you know, we always kind of mentally revisit our old tech narratives and where they came from and, you know, what's changed in the consumer landscape. And there really was, like, early on a set of like white papers and stuff where people were talking about how great 5G is. And they were like, you know what, it's so great, you might not even need Wi-Fi. You'll just buy all your devices and they'll all be connected to 5G and off you go.
I would just ask who put together those case studies, and what are the incentives behind those case studies?
It was definitely I'll answer that question by saying, well, if we read them, then it was probably the service provider market. So there you go. Hey, speaking of that market, how do you manage around things like service providers kind of being a bit more prescriptive about what types of devices consumers can bring into the home? I'm specifically referencing in this case, like with my experience with AT&T, you know, they have a modem and router combo that anything you bring in with like any kind of management capability, it just doesn't really work, you know, as well. And I was wondering if you think that, you know, that you might be able to partner with companies like that in the future, or, you know, or is it still just going to be kind of a workaround situation?
Yeah. You know, one of the fastest growing segments of our business is working with service providers. So we provide them, you know, a really great turnkey in-home connectivity solution. So it's both, you know, the physical Eero hardware, it's the consumer app to help, you know, customers diagnose problems themselves and see the, you know, state of their network in real time. And then it's a suite of services to protect customer networks. So that's Eero Secure, which is a network-based, you know, home digital security solution. And then it's also tools to help service providers manage, you know, large fleets of Eero networks and provide like the insights required for their customer service folks to solve problems if a customer calls in and is having problems with a device or with their network. So, you know, that's been one way we've focused on solving that problem is just partnering with service providers across the globe to go, you know, fix those problems. And then with, you know, you mentioned AT&T, we've done a bunch of things on our end to make, you know, era devices work well with kind of the most popular, call it, you know, combo modem router boxes out there. And so we've done things like NAT punching so that if you plug in an Eero and it's double NATed behind another gateway, it'll map, you know, port forwarding rules between, you know, the Eero network and the combo box. And then we also have a ton of, you know, help center articles, and we've got, you know, folks available more or less around the clock to help people with, you know, configuring their ISP provided equipment. We've got, you know, free support for all Eero customers. That's always been a really important tenet of our product offering to consumers, and they can always call in and get help making sure their you know, ISP provided device is configured properly.
Yeah, that's increasingly rare too, because the support, customer support for consumer devices these days is not, they either get to a point and they make you pay for it, or you get put into some choice of having to pony up for a membership or something, you know, there's always some sort of way to extract money for the privilege.
Yeah. I mean, for us, what we found is customers who talk to our support team actually have a higher net promoter score than customers who haven't, because they get a, you know, an absolutely great experience. And they know there's somebody they can call if they're having problems. So we've done that since day one. And, you know, that's something we've invested a lot in scaling here over the last few years.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I wanted to wrap up with, you know, a really hardball question for you.
Do
you,
get ready.
Yeah. So, you know, hold on to your hats. Do you have a good album, cocktail, or comfort food suggestion for those of us in pandemic lockdown?
That's right. Yeah. What's keeping you sane these days?
Well, outside of that, I love riding my my bike. So, you know, last year I rode like 5,000 miles. That just kept my my head on straight. Like getting in an hour or two most days just helped a ton. And without commuting and travel, I had some free time to do that. I think on the album, cocktail, comfort food front, I've been kind of getting back to basics and going kind of really back in the album collection to, like, you know, things like Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd, and kind of back to the era when listening to an album was a thing, not just listening to a single or a, you know, a playlist on Spotify.
And
seeing how everything kind of flows. So I think I've gone through the entire you know, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd collection here, and I'm just going to continue to go through kind of like my old iTunes favorites. And then on the comfort food cocktail front, we've been doing like a lot of, you know, Sunday night, we'll basically plan out meals for the week, just so we have something to look forward to. And, sure. and a big part of that is picking, like, I like to, you know, pick out, you know, what's that one awesome, you know, bottle of Pinot that, we're going to open, and we got to figure out, you know, what night we're going to, put that to good use. So that's been fantastic. My tip.
Yeah. Open some Pinot and watch, what is it? Sideways.
That's a good one. Recently it's been, you know, I think the last thing we watched was the Queen's Gambit. That was great on Netflix.
You can use if you need somebody who has that advanced Netflix subscription, Kelsey can hook you up there.
Yeah, so
I think we're paying for it too.
I canceled.
That's funny. Yeah, see, I have the same good intentions, you know, planning ahead, you know, getting a good bottle of something or other and having it ready and thinking like, oh yeah, this would be great for Sunday or whatever. And then I just watch the news and I'm like, hell, I'm drinking it all. Never mind, you know, but
I normally do dry January. That's been a little bit more challenging this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, but we've hopefully we will we definitely have brighter days ahead. And but hey, thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for your company keeping so many people connected, because this is a good time to be connected. And yeah, again, thanks for being on the Light Reading Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That's it. That's our show for today. Thanks to our amazing producer, Tian Fu, for all his hard work editing the podcast. And also a big thanks to our listeners for tuning in and sharing the podcast with your friends and colleagues. If you have any ideas about a future podcast topic or a potential guest for the show, please email us at editors@lightreading.com. Please also tell a friend to subscribe, and thanks for listening to the Light Reading Podcast. We'll see you next time.